Today on Real Radio.
The gift of tongues has led to so many church divisions and so many hurt feelings. But let me ask you something. Everybody listen. Did God give the gift of tongues?
Yes.
Okay. Was it intended to divide the church?
No.
So what's the problem here?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We're exploring chapter 4, where Paul, the letter's author, emphasizes unity among believers and spiritual gifts. This series is taken from Ephesians 4 and verses 7 through 16. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs continuing in his series called United in the Gifts.
We're going to be talking about the use of one particular gift. And no doubt when this particular gift is brought up, though it is the least of the gifts in importance, it is one that people always want to hear about, always want to talk about, and yet people are deathly afraid of. And that is tonight we're going to be discussing the gift of tongues. And is it real? Or is it valid? And boy, all of us have a story to tell about the gift of tongues. My grandmother used to tell me that this person used to speak in tongues and the whole service would go crazy. And then there's people that would say, no, there's no such thing. And there's a lot of controversy in the body of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of controversy in good churches, good, strong, Bible-believing churches. There's a lot of debate. And people are biased. I mean, let's be real honest tonight. My main concern tonight is that we've all come into this room tonight with a bias concerning certain gifts of the Holy Spirit. And there's none quite as controversial as the gift of tongues and the speaking of tongues. And we're going to look at it tonight, what the Bible has to say. I don't care what Grandma has to say. I don't care what I have to say. I don't care what I've experienced. In my growing up as a Christian, and I don't care what you've experienced, because quite honestly, all of us have either been exposed to some radical pendulum swing to one side or the other. And I've got to tell you tonight, and I just feel so qualified to talk about this. And I'll tell you the reason why. I knew nothing about even God until I went to Calvary Costa Mesa. And when they, on an afterglow evening, after Pastor Chuck would get done speaking on Thursday nights, back then they did it every Thursday night. There was about a 30-minute break, and then you went into the fellowship hall and you waited upon the Lord, a beautiful thing, and we need to do that more and more here. But it was during that time when somebody in the small group gathering, little kinship group of 750, that's a small gathering there, and somebody speaks out in a tongue, and I thought, well, that's pretty cool. I don't know what the guy said. He must be from, like, Africa. And then somebody came out with an interpretation. And then the guy up front, Greg Mills was his name, he began to say, well, that was just a tongue, and this was just an interpretation. And I went, well, that's cool. It's right here in the Bible, and that's neat. Then I went home that night, and I told Lisa. She had gone home, and I said, man, you should, this is great. This is what happened. And she had grown up in a very, very conservative Baptist background. I grew up in no background. And I said, oh, so neat. Praise the Lord. It's great. She goes, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. And she was freaking out. And I thought, what's the matter with you? What's the deal? She thought I was going to be sprouting horns or something, and, you know, this is demonic. And yet people respond in so many terrible and strange ways. But you know what? It's not so far-fetched for people to respond that way because of the abuses that have gone on. And let's be honest. Either people have totally taken this particular gift and buried it and said, it can't exist. I don't want it to exist. Just make it go away. Or they said, no, you know what? It's very present, and let's just let it go. And both are wrong. In fact, George Malone in his book states that concerning the gift of tongues, I'm quoting, he says, it is the most unity and togetherness buster in the New Testament church. And you know, that's true. The gift of tongues has led to so many church divisions and so many hurt feelings. But let me ask you something. Everybody, listen. In fact, respond out loud. Did God give the gift of tongues?
Yes.
Okay. Was it intended to divide the church?
No.
God's gifts are given to unify the church, to bring it together. So what's the problem here? We've been looking in our previous studies that the most verbal, really, of all the gifts, we saw in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, that it says there that he gave himself some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastor teachers. Four gifts listed, not five. We studied that last week in depth. There are four gifts listed that are very public and very vocal. And yet now we come to this gift that can be, listen carefully, it can be viewed as a public gift. Though we'll be, I think, surprised tonight to see that the gift of tongues, or what you might call prayer language possibly, we'll talk about that a little later, is encouraged by none other than Paul the Apostle himself to be done more often privately than publicly. And we're going to look at that. So I hope tonight is very informative to us, and I hope that it washes away a lot of fear and embeds within us the foundation of what the Word teaches on this very topic. Very important that we do this. But listen, it's sad to say, and I want to say it right up front, that there's a gross problem with many, and when I say us, I'm not pointing to any one particular person, I'm saying us within the body of Jesus Christ worldwide. There's a gross problem with us as Christians regarding this gift because many people have made it an issue of fellowship. You and I possibly know people that have come up to us and said, hey, brother, how are you? Well, praise the Lord, I'm fine. How are you doing? Doing good. You speak in tongues? What? Now, when somebody asks me, do you speak in tongues? You know what? I'm not a nice guy. I'm automatically not going to answer him because I can tell he wants to fight. If anybody wants to make it an issue, their heart's in the wrong spot. If they want to, we'll look at this deeper a little bit later. If they want to make it an issue about, are you filled with the Spirit, brother? Yeah, I am. Do you speak in tongues? What does that have to do with it? Oh, the Bible says if you're filled with the Spirit, the evidence will be speaking in tongues. The truth of the matter is, one of the evidences is speaking in tongues. One of them. But the greatest evidence of all of being filled with the Holy Spirit is, in fact, love. That is a fact. The Bible will teach us tonight that one of the evidences of being filled with the Holy Spirit is boldness in speaking the Word of God. I know many of you who are radically filled with the Holy Spirit. You don't speak in tongues, but you have a tremendous, tremendous ability by the Holy Spirit to be bold for Jesus' sake, or to teach, or to evangelize, or to love. But we'll see tonight, and I hope it will quiet some of the people who are out there in the Christian community that say you have to speak in tongues to be filled with the Spirit. And it's not true, and you will hear from the Bible tonight how that cannot be true. So I want you to grab your Bible, and probably more tonight than most, you're going to need your notebook sheets that are in front of your chair in front of you there. You need to take a lot of notes. We have a lot of verses. I think I counted them, and we have something like 25 verses to quote to you tonight. And that's important because we want to make sure we do this right. We need to understand something, that we've erred, and having taken what God has intended to be good and edifying and unifying to the body of Christ and rejecting it, if we don't believe that the gift is available today and that has a purpose today, because God says to us in Romans 11:29, he says, for the gifts, that is the gifts given by the Spirit, and by the way, the calling, that is your salvation, the gifts and the callings of God are given without repentance, or the word And the New King James is without irrevocability. God doesn't give a gift and then take it away. It's interesting. But listen, like many great gifts that are given to us, isn't it interesting how we can break them, use them in the wrong environment, leave them out in the rain, get them rusty, and they wind up becoming no longer any good because we abuse them, though the gift was engineered and created and given for a good purpose? We need to take our bias tonight, people, and put it in the trash can and see what the Bible has to say. Very important. But whenever any gift of the Holy Spirit is given, it is never given to separate it, to divide the body of Christ. And so in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, the Bible tells us, Paul says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, Calvary Chapel, I do not want you to be ignorant." The word is uneducated or uninformed or not knowing. This is a command from the Lord. It's interesting that the majority of those practicing the use of the gift of tongues do it in direct violation to the prescribed manner written in the Bible. Are you aware of that? You'll see things tonight that will point that out. And then there's the great majority of the people who refuse to believe that the gift exists. They won't acknowledge that the gift exists, and they do so in direct violation of the Bible as well. It's interesting. But remember this, the gift was given by the Lord. It is good, it is right, and it serves a purpose, and tonight we'll know why. But the Lord thought it needful enough when we, as a growing church, should be built up by the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, in a certain way, with certain features that promote growth. The gift of tongues was given to promote the growth of the body. It shouldn't divide. It shouldn't tear down. In Acts chapter 2, we'll spend a lot of time in there tonight. In Acts chapter 2, verse 47, concerning the gift of tongues even, and the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, verse 47, the Bible says there, "And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." Well, is it interesting? It was all in the context of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which was manifested, by the way, by the speaking of tongues. We'll talk about it later. An example was in Acts 2, verse 41. "Then those who gladly received the word were baptized, and on that day about 3,000 souls were added to the believers." That's not a bad day. Fishing was pretty good. Peter stands up there and starts preaching under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And you got to realize this too. Peter was a real knucklehead until he got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And when he got baptized in the Spirit, his first sermon under the power of the Holy Spirit, a gazillion people get saved. And I'm sure people were saying, "Peter, good job, man! All right!" All these people coming forward, new convert counselors out there. "Peter, praise the Lord!" Man, I know this for a fact. Peter went back there and sat down while the band closed the service for that day. And Peter sat there shocked more than anyone. I guarantee you that. Blown away. The power of the Holy Spirit. We need to look at the origin of this gift. We're talking about the Holy Spirit and the day of Pentecost. We'll just talk about this for a moment concerning the origin. That's our first point tonight. The origin of the gift of tongues. Well, first of all, it was prophesied in the Old Testament and the New Testaments. It was prophesied in the Scripture. Let's understand this, first of all, that the day of Pentecost came. That's when the Holy Spirit first manifested this gift. And the day of Pentecost is the fourth in a series of Jewish feasts, and it's celebrated by the Jews, and it is known as the first fruits, the festival or the celebration of first fruits. That is, the wheat harvest that had come in, the first ingathering of it would be given unto the Lord. He got the first of it. That's why we come together on Sunday, and those of you who are, listen, born-again believers, not visitors or... Yeah, I don't even care if you're a born-again believer and you're a visitor. I feel strongly that if this is your church, then you can participate in worship in giving. But if you're visiting, maybe you ought to hold back. Or if you're not a Christian, I'm asking you to not give money Because you don't understand that as we are worshiping with song, we are worshiping in the Word, we are worshiping the Lord, and giving financially is worship as well. But it's reserved for believers. And I believe that so strongly. That's why we'll never take an offering during an Easter outreach or a concert outreach or a Christmas service. We won't do it. Why? The probability of non-believers being present is greatly, greatly elevated. And I don't want them to say, well, I'm sure they're going after my wallet. Not here at this church. Never. Over my dead body. I don't ever want that to happen. The day of Pentecost, first fruits. Isn't it interesting that the day of first fruits was the birthday of the church, the day of Pentecost? And isn't it interesting that 3,000 souls were saved that day and were added to the, say, 120 believers that are there on the day of Pentecost? Isn't that interesting? Isn't it neat how the day of first fruits, the new believers come in unto the Lord? And isn't it a wonderful thing that on the day of Pentecost, the church is born? I love that. I like the way the Lord thinks. Jesus' first fruits of labor, so to speak, on the cross. They come in on the day of Pentecost. The origin of the gift of the of tongues prophesied in the Old and New Testament, that's a biblical thing. I want you to mark it down, and let's remember this. Jesus prophesied about the gift of tongues and the working of tongues in Mark 16, verse 7. Jesus said, and these signs will follow those who believe. The signs will follow those who believe. Not the believers will follow the signs, but the signs will follow the believers. He says, in my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. New tongues, both tongues of the world and tongues not of this world. Angelic tongues and earthly tongue. We'll talk about that as we get into this. Understand this, though. It was prophesied in the Old Testament. Are you guys writing this down? I just thought I'd ask. I didn't mean to scare you. In Joel chapter 2, verse 28. In Joel 2:28, Joel told us there, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters, now listen to this, shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also my manservants and my maidservants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Did it say anything about tongues in there? It didn't, did it? I noticed that today, just reading it. It doesn't say anything about tongues in there. But you know what just kind of woke me up about it was when the day of Pentecost took place, what did Peter say? Well, first of all, people are speaking in tongues, and the people that are standing around going, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. These guys are plastered. They're drunker than a skunk. However drunk skunks get, I don't know, but they're as drunk as a skunk. And Peter says, excuse me, these men are not drunk as you suppose, seeing that it is about the 9 a.m. hour. But this was what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And he quotes this verse. Isn't it interesting that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was manifested to the crowd, listen, by what is called cloven tongues of fire. Let's just make it this way so there's no confusion. There was a little dancing-looking flame that sat upon or just above their heads. It's never again recorded in Scripture. As far as we know, it never happened again. It was human candles on the birthday of the church. Little light, little fire flickering up there. And they began to speak in glossolalia, tongues. They began to speak in tongues. And this word glossolalia in the Greek can be tongues of heaven or tongues of earth. It can be translated in either way, based upon the context, and that's important to know. That will prevent you from leading yourself into some confusion. Peter quotes that verse, though, in Acts chapter 2, verse 12. It says, all the people there were perplexed over what was happening. And in verse 16 of Acts chapter 2, Peter says, "Not this is what was spoken of by Joel." Listen, Old Testament prophecy, Jesus' prophecy in Mark's gospel, it was revealed in Scripture before the event took place. That's important. I don't want to upset anybody. I don't want to get anybody riled up. And I'm going to ask you, if you want to get all upset about this, to just sit down and bear with the rest of the study and be courteous. Nowhere in Scripture does it tell us that there's the gift of barking or the gift of laughing uncontrollably to the point of hysteria, to the point of you needing oxygen to be put on your face because you're turning purple from laughing seriously. It's not in Scripture. None of the manifestations of the gift of the Holy Spirit lead you to becoming incapacitated or somehow losing control of your faculties or running around the sanctuary flapping your wings saying that you are an eagle. And you might say, Jack, you're very narrow-minded about that. Pray for me. Concerning the origin of the gift of tongues, I want you to consider this. That not only is it prophesied in the Old and New Testament, but it's originated by the Holy Spirit in the services. Not particularly in this service, and let me explain why. God will never interrupt himself. If I have the gift of teaching, according to the Bible, according to our study last week, it is given by the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. Many of you have been in services where this was not obeyed. The pastor might have been given a teaching. Now, he's supposed to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And there's times, I can tell you right now, it's family. I don't know if I'd say this on Sunday. But there are times when I literally feel, when I'm teaching, the Lord coming upon me. You become absolutely fearless. And there's times when it's going on where there's an unusual silence that comes over the congregation. It's like, and I don't know if you're picking up on it or not, but it's not human. And I am sitting here, and when I'm teaching under the power of the Holy Spirit, I am literally, look, I'm standing here, and then there's a part of me right here. And I am hearing things coming out of my mouth, and I'm wanting to write it down. Sometimes I'll either remember or I'll get the tape, and I'm learning while the words are coming out of my mouth, and I'm listening.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from Ephesians 4 in verses 7 through 16, where Paul expounds on gifts for believers and how they all contribute to the functioning of the church. United in the Gifts is the title of this mini-series, and we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we are coming up to the end of the year, which means, quite obviously, the beginning of the next year is just around the corner. And in February, we're going to be having another Southern California Prophecy Conference here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. And here's Pastor Jack to tell you more about it. Pastor Jack?
Thank you, Mike. I just am so excited about this conference. Here's the reason why. Last year, we hosted our first annual Southern California Prophecy Conference, and it was an overwhelming success. Not only because of so many people coming, but the caliber of speakers and the timing of it all was amazing. And what did the Lord do for us this time? Well, he hit the ball out of the park for us, because this year's upcoming Southern California Prophecy Conference is entitled Finding Hope in the Global Crisis. And those dates are February 20th, 21st, and 22nd. The seating is limited to 3,000 people. And it is an over-the-top event. We've got a lineup of speakers that's just amazing. You'll hear more about that later on. But really, Mike, this is a save-the-date announcement for all of our listeners to mark it on their calendars. Trust me, you guys, you will not want to miss this. February 20th, 21st, and 22nd, right here in Southern California at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. Please come. You will be blessed, guaranteed.
Okay, be sure and set those dates aside. That's February 20th, 21st, and 22nd. To find out more, visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, or give us a call. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.